about crypto, which way to go, me right info, I'm a junkie for the knowledge, you got it, technology on the move, we ride.
Welcome back to another episode of Crypto Junkies Podcast. This is episode 6. This is your host, Ragnar 4.
This is Havoc.
This is ThunderMonkey.eth.
It's so great to have you back. So today we're going to be talking about...
So I think you wanted to talk about ENS. Something happened recently.
Yeah, so recently on Twitter, I follow these users called Farouk. He's part of Rug Radio. And then This other guy named... I think NathanHead.eth. You've seen him, right?
Yeah.
He's a whale?
Yeah.
Or a she?
That must be because there was a Nathan that got fired from OpenSea. That's not him, right? That's a different Nathan?
It's a different Nathan. So ENS is basically the platform that we use to create our usernames for our wallets. So you guys can access anybody's wallet at abc.eth, and then you can go to that person's wallet without having to input that long address that ETH has. So if you guys want to access my wallet, it's thundermonkey.eth, and you can see all my horrible transactions that I've made over
Ragnar
time.
4.
But it's simple, right? So where you guys can memorize something and not look it up. So anyways,
wreckhavoc.eth.
Yeah. So anyways, ENS does this to where you guys can access it. But ENS got into some controversy where they started talking about the LGBTQ community, and they were talking down on them.
Right.
And,
wow.
And a few of these influencers were pretty much talking back to ENS, is like, bro, that's kind of messed up how you guys are treating the community, where it's a diverse community, the culture is different, and we all should be one together and not talk down on based on your belief of, you know, race, religion, and
right.
and
protected cultures. Classes, right?
Exactly.
And you know, in the culture, the crypto NFT culture, at least the vibe I've been getting is that it's very inclusive. You were talking in episode 3 about women empowerment, and all these projects are pumping any project that deals with protected classes like race, sexuality, all of that. They're pumping. And so for ENS, or the creator of ENS, to be so anti-homophobic, essentially, he's burning all the bridges that he could have helped grow.
Yeah.
And so he was stating that, like, I think his name is Brantley.eth. The
sounds
guy
about
from
right, bro.
ENS.
Oh no,
and
Brantley.
His perspective is he is, I think it's Christianity,
right.
And the Jewish brothers were backing him up on that. I get it. You know, you guys believe in something different. It's part of your religion, stuff like that. But I still don't see it as being in the right to talk down on other people in the community that have a different point of view on things, right?
Yeah.
I think it's something you kind of just keep to yourself and go on with what you believe in.
Yeah.
I'm with both of you. And also, like, I'm going to keep harping on this, but it's because what it is, it's we are decentralized. So what does that mean? We're not following the path of centralization. And we're all about, like, being able to be free and do our own thing. And especially with this space, if you think about it, you know, since the whole movement of the pronouns, and I've been getting educated by my friends and also by the space of everything that's going and on. And even though it's something new to me or different to me, I'm not going to bag on anyone or talk trash. And I'm also going to do my best to be educated and to understand other people, because it's all about community. And also with the NFT space, for our brothers and sisters who have been, like, discriminated against, like, or they feel, or they're a different person than what someone else wants to call them, or whatever the case may be. Like, right now you can be a PFP and you put your pronouns in your bio. You know, and that's true. How you identify. So it's going to be different in the metaverse. Like, imagine in the metaverse how it's going to be. You can be.
It's funny you say that, because there's more recent news right now that a news publication doxed individuals that weren't trying to be identified.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
We're talking about Bored Ape Yacht Club, right?
BAYC. Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. So BuzzFeed came out with an article, and they basically identified the creators of BAYC who were trying to keep themselves anonymous to the community, which I don't see them being anonymous a bad thing. I'm sure it's for certain reasons. Maybe they were included in another project that they don't want their names on it. And
also for security purposes, right?
No, definitely.
Because, you know, you're the creator of Bored Ape Yacht Club. You have a target in
on
your
back.
Yeah. Yeah,
you have access to, like, we can talk about some projects where their higher up Discord members get hacked. I think NFT Llama, shout out to Llama, was talking about a certain project where one of the founders, he was hacked, and then they actually saw a chat from the founders and all the people on the team where they were like planning like a small rug pull, like to take some money.
Wow.
So because of certain FUD and negativity that was going on,
right?
So they were gonna take some money, and this guy hacked their Discord and then hacked the community wallet for all the money that they had. But then doing so, he also like released those screenshots of the Discord wow. chat of the members, the higher tier members, and they're gonna do a small rug pull.
So it just goes to show that one of the core components of decentralization, which is anonymity, could have lots of pros and lots of cons. Wow. And so, but overall, I would think that anonymity is a net positive for the community than a net negative.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you said, they have a target on their back now. So now these hackers are going to go directly for their wallets because they know who they are.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, I feel two ways just because like I follow Pac and he's anonymous.
Yeah.
And I really like what he's been able to do, but also some people who are Anon, like maybe they're Anon for a reason, like they're not confident in their skills or abilities or what they have to bring to the table. So that's another aspect of investing in them. Like if they might not be willing to show who they are, it might be something negative behind it. Either it might be Beanie, you know, the guy, you laugh.
Beanie, yeah.
So pretty much there's people who do projects, they don't show who they are because they're going to rug that shit and go to the next one. You know what I'm saying?
It's funny you say that because 2-3 weeks ago, I was seeing a news article and one of the main individuals who was involved with the Enron rug pull that happened in Houston, Texas, mm-hmm. Ponzi scheme that stole billions of dollars to the public, he was actually one of the co-creators of this cryptocurrency. I forgot which one it was, but he got doxxed and they were able to identify him.
Ooh. Oh, damn.
Did that dump that cryptocurrency?
Once they identified that it was him, it dumped.
Yeah, like this project, the one I told you about where they hacked the wallet and they exposed him and they released the NFT. I mean, the screenshots, that project was like at a 0.32 and it was going up. It dropped to like 0.1 and I haven't checked it since.
So. Wow. Talking about hacks, did y'all hear about the hacker that took 80,000 ETH from Solana?
I read the guideline. I mean, I saw the...
Wait, you said 80,000 ETH?
Yeah, not $80,000. 80,000 coins. Whoa. Of Ethereum.
Damn. Let me do the math real quick on that. That's a lot
I think
of money.
You can Hey Siri that.
We're talking really? About...
Yeah.
Hey, like ETH yeah. conversion?
Try yes, it. Hey Siri, how much is...
Because my Siri doesn't work.
Right, let me do it. Yeah. How much...
30,000? 80,000 ETH.
All right, let's do it for the audience. Hey Siri, how much is 80,000 Ethereum?
It's very smooth.
Hey Siri, how much is 80,000 Ethereum? So it's 243 million.
Yep.
$740,640.
This hacker took $240 million away from Solana, which basically means that all the Ethereum that Solana had was backed by nothing. So there was a bunch of funding that was going on. Ethereum itself dropped because a lot of people were not knowledgeable about who got hacked. Right. Everybody was saying, oh, Ethereum got hacked. No, Solana got hacked from their Ethereum.
I even saw some people saying that OpenSea was the one that got hacked.
Well,
you know, maybe trying to FUD them or something. I don't know.
But here's the hot takes that I want to make about this, right? The first hot take is that in this space, there can be zero bugs. There could be zero vulnerabilities because there's so much money in the space that if you do have shoddy software, then you will get hacked for millions of dollars. Easy.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. We just have to be very careful out here. And I guess we've been a little bit lucky too, because we've been going at it like we've been going ham and just like minting and not really knowing like the intricacies of like the smart contracts.
Yeah,
right. Exactly. We're just signing everything. Yeah, we're just sign.
So I remember in the beginning, a little story. So I remember in the beginning when BAYC came out, there was this fake website called BAYC Token. I don't know if you guys remember that.
No.
But so you could have gone on there and pretty much gave them your ETH and you would have gotten nothing in return, and they would have stole all your ETH. And that was something that it was new to us. You know, I was new to the crypto space. So I saw this BAYC token. I'm like, well, man, BAYC is pumping. Let me try and get their token.
Yeah.
Just to find out. I read through their Discord before I did it, and they made an action. They were like, yeah, that's fake. Nobody do it.
Yeah.
So the tip and trick there is to always click on official links. Yeah. Always verify that you're at the right website. If not, you will get hacked.
Yeah. Also, like, if you're deceived, if you're in a project, some people, what they like to do as well is, like, there might be a project that is pumping and they're in the, and the scammers are in the Discord.
Yeah.
So they're looking for you, like, okay, there's 10,000 people here. I'm going to get one of these people right here and I'm going to scam them. But they'll post a link. Like, maybe they'll post a link and it shows, the link shows like it's at the floor price, but it's this, you know, upper level type of picture or whatever. But once you click the link, and if you're trying to go and snipe it and you're trying to just go fast real quick, then you see that the actual price is, like, instead of that 0.1, it's actually like 11 ETH or like 100 ETH.
Yeah, I mean, and these pages they take you to are official. Like, yeah. They look official.
And they are, some of them, but for whatever reason, like, the what they display first to the official link, the price changes. But if you're being impatient, and that's why we say it's very important to be patient, because if you're impatient, you just click through it, and God forbid you have 111 ETH in your fucking wallet because you thought you were paying 0.11 and you actually signed 111 ETH.
You're losing all that shit.
Yep.
So to kind of finish up that story, you know what Solana did to kind of try to make things right? They send out a public service announcement talking to the hacker saying, hey, can you please return 80,000 ETH back to us and we'll give you $10
million
and we will not prosecute you for stealing from us. Mm-hmm. So here's my question. Is it better to have $10 million and peace of mind, or have $240 million but know that there's always someone looking to find you and put you in jail?
I think this just, there's that high chance that they're going to get caught.
Yeah,
everything's sources one way or another, so they'll find who that person
unless this is Marty from Mozart, then
Marty will not get caught.
Yeah.
What would you do? Would you take the 10 mil?
Yeah,
or the 240?
Well, that's the thing. What if you take the 10 mil and then you still get something reprehended from it, you know?
Yeah But think about Web3. I don't know why the fuck it's not in Ozark yet, like, because this is perfect for Marty. Like, Marty can make all these wallet addresses.
Wash all the money.
Yeah. I've never watched
it. I would hit up Marty.eth, you know, send him an ETH and he'll wash that shit for you. Have you watched Ozark?
I haven't, dude. Nah.
What do you think about the show, Ozark?
I think it's the equivalent to Breaking Bad. It's that good in terms of quality. Yeah.
It's crazy. What season is it right now? The one that 4. Came out?
Part 2.
Did you finish it?
I have yet, so.
I think I did, but so there's going to be a season 5. Do you know? It should be.
I think I was seeing that there should be a season 5.
Yeah. Cool. So I guess that's why people are saying that we're money launderers, because maybe some people are, who knows? No, for sure they are.
Everything could be tracked, man. One way or another, governments have really high tech.
What do y'all think about like these NFT shows? Do you have any of them in mind? I know there's
the Mint Condition is one. Gary Vee Audio Experience is another. Is that what you're talking about?
No, like, I'm talking about like animations. Like, is that going to be the new thing? Like, just people. Well,
so speaking about that, you're talking about like a actual TV show coming out.
Yeah, TV
show. So I'm in a project called Smiles. That's 3 S's. Smile with 3 S's, and they signed a contract with Times, and they're supposed to be releasing an animated version of their NFT cart, like a cartoon, a whole series of it. And there's I think there's another project, I don't know the name of it,
Stoner Cats, that's what I'm in.
And Stoner Cats is backed by
Ashton Kutcher and
Mila Kunis. I was gonna say a whole different name. Yeah, Mila Kunis.
Chris Rock is on there. What's that guy's name from Family Guy,
Seth MacFarlane.
He's in there as well.
You're still holding that, right?
Yes, I'm holding.
Nice.
Yeah, so like I'm very excited about the whole animation aspect. I know Deadheads is trying to do their thing, but they're you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't. I honestly don't care about the shows.
What about, so okay, so not the shows, but that's something that's brewing. You know, one thing about investing in collectibles and all this other stuff is, and that we've kind of come to learn, is that you can definitely be right, but you're like too early where there's no fucking action, you know? So like, you could have invested that money elsewhere and, yeah, and it yeah. could have paid you better than like, if you were to invest in VR and you invested 10 years ago, like VR still hasn't hit shit. So like,
exactly, this is true.
So you would be better off doing something else.
Yeah. It's all about timing. You just got to figure out what the next catalyst is that will actually move the needle.
So would you say, cause right now what the big boom is the NFT profile picture boom, right? That's correct. What everyone is going for. Is it going to be animation, movies, or is it going to be, or do you think the music side is going to take over first as far as the next boom of the NFT space?
I think that gaming,
or gaming, right?
Gaming is going to be the biggest thing. So there was this project Perez showed me a few days ago. It was called Dungeon. And I don't know if you guys saw it, but we talked about it earlier, and you can play.
I was hungover, so I couldn't reply, but I saw what y'all were talking about.
So you can play in OpenSea. If you own the NFT, you can play the game while in OpenSea. Wow. It's a mini game. It's nothing too intensive. But it's the concept of it is amazing. Imagine being able to play all these mini games within your wallet.
Yeah. I'm still in big time. Did y'all sell or are you still in?
You never got in
big
time.
I never got in
big time. Yeah, I sold. Which I sold at peak.
Or are you gonna get back in with the small land or not?
Probably not.
It's like $300, $600.
Probably not.
You don't think it'll go somewhere?
No, I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will. But they're not, I think they're rumored to release like in April. May, something like that. It's a few months away.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm excited for gaming. I guess right now, like, what are we investing in right now? Is it, I guess we're doing DeFi, which is decentralized financing, like finance.
Right.
Like where we're staking and we're making money daily. Are we, what's our next interest? Gaming?
Gaming. So I've seen Ubisoft has gotten into the crypto space.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
And they've been trying to release NFTs to where you can buy your armor and you're able to use it within the game, but they've been having a difficult time of actual gamers getting the grasp of what the value of what the NFT is going to hold in the future. Right. So they're having a hard time with those sales on their NFT projects.
And I think there's a difference between an in-game collectible, like a skin, and actually buying an NFT that you're able to use in a game. There's a difference. You own that NFT, but you don't own technically that in-game collectible or that in-game skin. Yeah, I mean,
because kids are spending hundreds of dollars on like Fortnite skins.
Their parents,
And imagine you being able to, let's say Call of Duty, for instance, you can, the next Call of Duty comes out, you still own your skin. Next Call of Duty,
exactly,
you still own your skin, and you know, for the future going on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess right now we're just spitballing about different concepts and ideas that are going on in the space so that you can learn a little bit about it. Another one is the NFT restaurant that's going to be made in Manhattan. And it's, what is it called?
The fish and something.
Yeah, the fish.
Flyfish?
Flyfish.
Flyfish.
Flyfish. And we could have minted at around 2 Ethereum.
Yeah.
And then the luxury one was around 4 to 5 Ethereum.
What's floor now? I haven't kept up.
The floor is around.
Don't tell me it's high.
It is high.
Yeah. So it doubled. For the basic one, it doubled to like 4 something, 4 ETH.
Damn it.
And then the second tier went up to like 6 or 80.
Why don't we buy?
No, the high tier right now is at 12 to 15.
Oh.
And what was the mint price
for
that?
4 to 5.
Wow.
And but let me look at it right now to see if it's crashed. But the cool thing about that NFT restaurant, it's going to be like a sushi type of, or like a, oh, fish, right?
Yeah.
Like fish-based type of deal. So, but the other cool thing is that it's going to be built in Manhattan, so that's going to be expensive. So the clientele there, I mean, already if you're interacting in the NFT space, you're usually interacting with people that have more money and things like that, resources. So they're, what do you think they usually pay to have access to some type of special, you know, type of restaurant or in Manhattan? Like
a lot, right? Because the value is derived from knowing that every time you walk in there, there are influential people in there.
Yeah.
So there's always a chance or an opportunity where you could meet someone that could take you to the next place where you want to be.
That's true.
Yeah. And with these passes, so the Omosake one, I believe, is the one that is the higher tier, the more rare one. And that gives you special access to like back rooms and areas like this. And then you're also going to be able to lease out those tokens. So let's say you're an investor, you don't live in Manhattan and you're not part of that crowd. Like, you can be leasing or leasing out your token and making passive income every day.
That's awesome.
So that's why like the prices have gone up. So we talked a little about, so now we know that there's like the food industry, that there's going to be a lot of industries.
Metaverse.
Yeah. Can we talk about Justin and his rug pool, his rug radio?
Let's talk about Justin, because I'm so happy, because I know that we've talked amongst each other at different times, different members of our group. We've talked and we're like, you know, we've all pretty much made money and we have. But I kind of been waiting on him to hit.
Yeah.
And just within the past few days, two of his projects that he's in have hit.
Yeah.
And
so Rug Radio is one and ABS is the second.
Yes.
And so ABS, the situation there,
the hundreds,
is
the hundreds. Yeah.
The hundreds. Yes. They're doing a commercial for the Super Bowl.
They are.
Yeah. And so I guess once that got announced, their collection on OpenSea's pumped so hard that the floor price is close to 1.5 ETH or somewhere around there.
Yeah. And so it was sitting at 0.25, 0.3 for a minute.
Yeah.
After reveal, it was sitting there for a while.
Yeah. And even the rare ones now are like in that 5 to 8 Ethereum level.
Yeah.
And Justin said he has a rare one. So
yeah. So. And my man Justin's getting ready to get married. And so he's been hoping to hit so he, you know, he could have a very lavish wedding.
Damn, yeah.
So the NFT gods have blessed my man, right? Justin.
NFT wedding, baby. Let's go. It's like.
So number two was Rug Radio.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about innovations in the NFT space,
it
originated with the PFP picture, right? But now Rug Radio is decentralizing the radio
media,
yeah. Right? Because I don't know if you know this, and iHeart Radio controls 90% of all public radio in the world right now.
Dang.
Yeah. Now you have this NFT created radio space that I think will disrupt the conglomerate that iHeart Media is. A lot of people recognize that. So Rug Radio pumped.
Yeah,
towards 1.5 ETH.
And so that's the creator is Farokh, F-A-R-O-K-H. You can find him on Twitter. And I actually had got into Rug Radio. I was one of the 18,000 people that were able to get the Rug Radio pass from it. All you had to do was pay for gas. And that within itself pumped up to like 0.35, 0.5 ETH. And then,
you sell?
Yeah, I sold it.
Bro, why did you not mint that?
No, I minted it.
Oh, yeah,
I minted it, but I sold it really cheap.
Man.
I didn't. So I believe in that guy. He has a lot of people backing him up, a lot of influencers. They believe in his project. I definitely could see the upside of this project, but I was just trying to look for a quick buck. I just paid gas on it.
Yeah. I think the crazy part about this is that there's another example of how being involved in the crypto space really can pay dividends. Like, people are thinking like, and it's true, you do need money to interact in the space, and especially if you want to have more opportunities, more chances to swing, and hopefully one of them hits and skyrockets. But like, you just told us all you had to do was pay gas, and everyone in the group mostly knew about Rug Radio but some of us were either busy at the time, at work, didn't have access to the laptop because the phone wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't work on
my
phone.
It wouldn't work on the phone. Yeah.
That was my issue, it wouldn't work on my phone, and I had forgotten my laptop that day. So I was screwed. But imagine if just we had 100 more people here in the podcast that were listening to us. And we just that week we had the podcast and we talked about stuff that we're going into, like Rug Radio. It's fucking free plus gas.
And it took a while. So it was 18,000 passages that he was giving out for free. And the gas was only $50 gas. And you had several days to get this mint pass.
Right.
Like, they didn't sell out instantly. He actually had a hard time giving away free passes. He had a hard time getting people to get onto these free passes. And then it took several weeks until it's finally he made it to the 18,000 minted passes.
Imagine, have we done like several wallets?
Yeah.
Dang.
We could have collected so many.
20.
And I just checked the floor price is 1.25, right?
For the.
So imagine if we just got 10 of them, 10 at $50 a pop, we would have, our initial investment would have been $500 and we would have had about 10 ETH, which is $1,000.
And it wasn't expensive to mint the actual the Rug Radio. Mm-hmm.
That right there is gold. Sorry, I'm eating a chicken nugget, but that right there is gold. I got hungry. But what else do you want? Like, what else do you need? Like, that should be proof enough that even if you don't have the money currently to go in ham, as long as you give your time and you know, you do research, then there's going to be opportunities, and there's going to be an opportunity where it's free and it costs gas, $50, $70, and you take it, and all of a sudden, 3 months later, it's worth $10,000.
Yeah,
like, shit, like this happens.
Yeah, it was easy process to get that passed. And so I've seen, you know, now that we're talking about media, there's another one that I saw today called We're All Gonna Make It. And it's supposed to be like a NFT podcast platform where they talk about the news in the crypto space. They're gonna drop alpha, and they're probably sitting at like 0.25 ETH right now. I didn't look too much into the project, but it reminded me of a lot of Rug Radio. So they're kind of real similar in that sense, where they're going to be a media platform for the NFT world.
Yeah. 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 There's a bunch going on. What else can we talk about?
Metaverse,
like land and whatnot, or.
Yeah. Well, so I kind of just want to bring, so I had a buddy called me the other day. He called me on the phone. He's been listening to our podcast. And so he was asking Marco. So he was asking me, what's this metaverse that people are talking about? What are the benefits of this metaverse? So I had a big one that a lot of people are into real estate right now. This is kind of just my idea that I threw out there. Somebody's probably already implementing it, but my perspective is, think about the metaverse like this. Think about it. You're a real estate company.
Yeah.
Let's say you have a client that's in overseas in a different country and they want to buy a house here in Texas. And let's say you have a real estate company in the metaverse where you can showcase homes, like viewings of houses.
The gallery.
A gallery. Yeah. So let's say, all right, I want to buy this house. I want to see how it looks. All right. Put on your VR headset. Come into your future home that you think about purchasing, and you can walk around. You can see the furniture already installed. The finished product.
Matterport. Have you heard of that company?
I have. Yeah.
Okay, so Matterport right now, I invested in them. Fuck stocks, but anyways, Matterport. So Matterport, they do the VR right now.
Okay,
so they'll go and take the pictures and they map everything out and they'll put it on the website on Zillow so that you can see it like 3D and VR.
Okay, I see. Okay,
so they actually have a partnership with guess who?
Sandbox,
OpenSea.
Someone who just dropped by a lot.
Facebook.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So,
ouch.
Facebook is probably going to use Matterport to map out everything, since Matterport is already like a company that's growing and already does that.
Right.
So there's going to be some players that are going to come in and definitely help with that, and it's going to be like an integration. So it's exciting, like gallerizing homes. Like imagine also real estate people, like they could have an opportunity where usually. What is it about real estate that's going to help you sell a house? It's someone clicking on the listing, right? The more people that are that click on the listing, the higher chance that you have to actually sell the home. So imagine now that you're using Web3 technology to now advertise this home. What if someone has a kid and you have a Marvel or a Disney collectible and you're able to VR it and in that home, or like
interesting,
Marvel Mighties in the driveway playing, you know, give someone an idea of how it would look like to get there.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things you could do with the metaverse.
What do y'all think about VFriends? Like, I know we've sometimes have asked each other, like when we have some ETH, like, hey, we should maybe go in on one, or like, has anyone else from the group ever asked you to go in besides me? You know,
no, I'm pretty sure everyone's asked each other to go in on projects. I think we are all willing to invest in VFriends, but I think we will when version 2 comes out. And I'm pretty sure we'll bundle our money and actually buy VFriends. In fact, I would think that our hedge fund, our community hedge fund, the next play should be VFriends V2.
VFriends V2, and then we'll work our way up and flip to V1.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like V1 is very underrated at the current floor, you know, 13 ETH, 12 ETH floor. We have Bored Ape at 100 ETH, you know, so they definitely have the hype behind the project and the OGs behind them. So I believe like once, I think just Gary Vee is going to continue to build the business, and 13 ETH is too low. And hopefully it can get to that 100 ETH mark as well.
Well, V2 is just solely artwork, right? There's no utility behind it.
Well, who knows? Who knows the utility there might be?
You know? I remember him saying it was just going to be solely artwork. No utility. V1 was going to be the one with the utility, and he's going to work on that for 40 years.
I guess regardless, it's backed by Gary Vee. So sure. Even if it doesn't have utility
in the future,
the community is big enough to overcome that utility aspect.
Yeah, and also in a smart contract, everyone, just whenever a creator does it, you know, they're able to actually switch and add onto that smart contract. So in the future, if they want to add royalties or if they want to give you part of something, they can definitely do that as long as it's the right jockey. Anything else that you would like to talk about?
Policy going on in terms of crypto. Everyone's trying to regulate it. Everyone's trying to tax it. Everyone's trying to figure out if they even want to legalize the idea of transacting through crypto. So in the past week, there was a couple of major events going on in certain countries. To name a few, the United States.
India.
El Salvador. Russia. I just kind of wanted to talk about how each country has a different perception or view on how they want to interact with crypto. First, starting with the United States, because that's where we live here in Houston, Texas. The big thing is that the Biden administration actually announced that they're going to do an executive order to somehow regulate and tax certain cryptos or certain transactions. But the key point that I wanted to point out is that a judge or the law was enacted where specifically staking, those gains that you get from staking are not taxable. I guess when we're talking about Lux, since it's really based on the APR you get from the staking, it makes it a little more bullish in that situation. Also, here's a crazy thought. The United States federal government is toying with the idea of creating their own cryptocurrency. Think about that.
Yeah.
So the main key point that we talk about when it comes to crypto is the idea that it's deregulated.
Yeah.
The idea that not one government entity oversees that cryptocurrency, but yet you have the US government thinking that they want their own cryptocurrency. What are your initial reactions?
Well, so it's wild because right now there's a small percentage of people who are actually into crypto already. So I feel like us being the small percentage, we probably won't do it.
Right.
But you got to think about that other major percentage of people who are out there that want to get into crypto and they want to trust the United States with their money. And, you know, I can see people getting into that token that they release.
But I'm very bearish on that idea. And it goes back to the Libra coin that was backed by Facebook, by Uber, by PayPal, by MasterCard, by all these corporate entities. And you would think that if you could combine all these mega powers in the world, that they would create a successful coin. But what ended up happening, the sentiment of the population didn't like it, and it crashed the coin Libra. And I think that the same thing could happen with a government-backed cryptocurrency.
Yeah, I don't know if people would support it, because right now what's happening is we are going through an adoption period and a period of growth where we're trying to get as many people in as possible, you know. So that's already a hurdle for the US or any government that would want to create their own cryptocurrency. And then the second would be that the OGs and the people who are already here interacting in the space, we're about decentralization, baby. So exactly. we don't want you fucking here.
But like I was saying, like, think about the percentage of people who don't want to get into something that's volatile,
right,
and something stable. So, I mean, the percentage in the NFTs? I mean, I'm sorry, the crypto space right now, like 10% of people
that are involved in the crypto
in the United States.
Nah. Man, to be honest, I think it's like 0.01%.
So, I mean, think about
we're still at the 1-2%
level. Yeah, so think about the other major percentage that wants to get into something safe.
Well, are you thinking that the US coin would be something where they give actual, like, really good fucking APR?
No, like that, or... no. The way I perceive it, it would be 1-to-1 to the U.S. stable dollar, kind of like a USDT or yeah. USDC coin, but it's just backed by the federal government. Yeah. I feel like that's literally it.
Yeah.
But I'm just not about it.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. Definitely not about it.
So they had a couple of guidelines to determine whether they will or will not do it. And here's kind of what they were saying, that it needs to provide benefits to every household, business, and the overall economy. Is one of their I guess guidelines, that it is more effective than other alternative methods, yeah, like paying cash.
That's crazy. Well, then now that you say that, I switch my stance a little bit, which is like, yeah, it could happen.
So it'll be carbon neutral coin, where you don't have to own anything but a cell phone or a wallet in order to make a transaction.
Exactly, because the hot take that the article was saying is either way, paper money, no one really uses it anymore. Most transactions are done over, the web,
paper,
right?
Paper sucks, man. Every time someone pays me at my job with paper, I got to go to the goddamn bank.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember the last time I even carried cash. I rarely carry it on occasion.
Yeah, I mean, like someone's like, hey, I'll pay you cash. I'm like, that doesn't do nothing for me.
Yeah, just
I'd rather finance.
Sell me a payment or send it to me on an ETH.
So here's one guideline that I think really differentiates itself from standard cryptocurrency, is that it says it needs to have protection against criminal activity.
Right. That'll be definitely very hard.
So what does that mean? It means that you can't be anonymous behind the
that's the thing.
US-backed cryptocurrency.
The know your customer. That's what a lot of people don't want. The know your customer.
Yeah, the MTL.
KYC.
KYC, yeah.
Where you have to post a picture of your passport, ID.
Yeah, this is like, let me get in. This is who I am. I'm going to give you all my stuff. I don't even know you. But I'm going to tell you exactly who I am and where I stay.
Which we do that already. Our social security people,
well,
the IRS knows who we are.
Talking about, the whole aspect of the government in it, isn't part of the whole stance of decentralization that people who weren't able to have credit cards or bank accounts because of said rules of the US government can now have those those features and that access. Right.
Yeah. So there's people who have bad credit scores or
for whatever reason, they fucked up too many at all places. Now they can't,
open a bank account.
Not even that, So Web3, that would like actually solve some of those issues about those people having access to stuff they need.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. Agreed on that.
And so
imagine when they do the financing through crypto. You know what I'm saying? Like, damn. if you have this much ETH in your wallet, or let me see your transaction history on ETH.
I think that it might well happen now that I think about it, because you could easily do your tax returns via crypto,
your wallet.
Yeah, all you have to do is click one button and boom, it'll show you all your transactions and you're able to file a tax return. So
yeah,
I could definitely see that being a possibility.
As far as with taxes, since it's around the corner and whatnot, it's very new, and there's no programs right now that help with taxes at the level that they need to help, because there's some programs that people are making, but they're not accurate enough. So
yeah, they're not complete.
Even if you do a transaction, they might mark it as a transaction that netted you some money, but you lost it. So it's not complete right now.
You have to think about the gas that you spent to make the transaction,
exactly,
and the fees that go along with it, what you paid to transfer it over to an exchange.
Whenever you transferred ETH for a dollar, how much was ETH in dollar amount then versus when you bought it, or like all this stuff that's so difficult.
Well, this is like the first time this has ever happened. Like,
yeah,
this is new.
There's no regulation right now. I mean, we're still literally what, 2-3 years into this NFT crypto
boom.
Yeah.
And honestly, governments didn't start acknowledging that the boom was happening till this year.
Yeah. And they still have a hard time grasping the concept of it.
Yeah. They need to leave us alone. I don't want them. Leave us alone.
Let us get the gains for a little bit.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what India is doing in terms of taxing.
Oh, the 30%, huh?
Yeah. Indian government just announced that crypto will be taxed at 30% of all gains.
Regardless.
This is the first time that the Indian government has legitimized crypto in India. And you're talking about 2 billion people there. But here's the catch. If you lose money, you cannot write it off as a tax deduction.
Ridiculous. In India?
In India, yeah. So this is very...
Wow.
This is anti-middle class. This is anti-lower, poverty. Yeah. It only benefits the wealth, essentially. The ones who are able to sustain losses. Everybody else just, you know, gets the shit end of the stick.
The one percenters.
That is correct. Yeah, so it's a win-win for them. It's a lose-lose for us, for the middle class. I'm not Indian, but if I was, it would be a lose-lose situation.
Yeah, well, so how much here, like, how does the stock work? The stock market charge you on so, capital gains?
It's, if I'm not mistaken, there's a range, depending on the state as well, I believe. 30 to 40% if it's short-term. And then long-term is 15 to 20%.
Okay. So they're, so they're kind of
so they're saying, they're going straight 30. So there's no low 15% exactly. Where if you wait a year, you can get that 15%, which it's interesting. Oh, that's also interesting to keep in account, but I'm not going to go to that tangent later. Okay. So, but what's messing me up is like in India, then if you win, you get taxed.
Correct.
But all the losses that you, because us, we've talked about in the podcast how you can take losses. Right. But if you choose right that one time, it'll cover all your losses.
Correct.
But they don't even care about your losses. So those aren't really covered because you're not going to get to write those off against your wins.
Exactly.
That's like a double fuck you.
Yeah. It's anti-middle class. Yeah,
so they better hold strong.
It's a triple.
What's crazy? Polygon, the coin, is actually an Indian coin. I'm not sure if y'all knew that. Mm-hmm. But right now there's an exodus going on. Where all these crypto millionaires from India are leaving the country so they don't get taxed. And all these coins that are created in India and all these NFT projects, literally, they're bouncing and going to other places because you just can't make it in India.
Yeah, you can't blame them.
So let's talk about El Salvador. This past week, they had a crazy story, right? So basically, they were trying to get a $1.3 billion loan from the international fund, right? Where it's an international government that loans money to countries, right? So they were trying to get $1.3 billion from them on the condition that El Salvador will get rid of all their Bitcoin. You know what El Salvador said?
Nope.
They were like, fuck you.
So it's funny. I read a comment on Reddit about that situation. And they were saying, well, why doesn't Salvador just sell their Bitcoin, get their $1 billion, and then just use it all the money that they made to buy more Bitcoin?
Well, think about it, right? If they said yes and they got their $1.3 billion like 2 weeks ago when Bitcoin was at $30,000 and they rebought back in, they would be like up $3 billion right now.
Yeah, you're right. That's crazy.
I don't know. Maybe I'm sure there's guidelines that restrict certain things, but that would be a cool thing for them to do.
It makes us very bullish on the idea that El Salvador, a government, is so heavily invested into cryptocurrency and that you could use that as legal tender in anywhere in El Salvador.
Yeah, and I've seen...
If a DGEN was a country... Huh?
Yeah, that would be El Salvador. Yeah.
So it's cool. Like I watched a little docu-series on YouTube. I don't know the name of it, but they pretty much went to El Salvador and they saw the community surrounding it using Bitcoin. So you'd go to the store. They have a certain app that they were using to purchase things with Bitcoin. So you know, let's say you wanted bananas. Oh, all right. Bust out the beat. I think they call it Bitcoin.
Oh, straight up. There's lingo. There's terminology over
like,
there.
And it's beat. Yeah, like tango beat. And they'll pay their vegetables with it. Or the taco stands. It's on their phone. They bust out their phone. And it's beat. See, tango beat. They
pay with insane. Well, that's kind of how China functions, right? If you go to China, you have WeChat. And in every single stall in China, they have the QR code for WeChat. And if you want to pay for something, you just pull out your phone, scan that QR code, and that's make your payments.
That's what Web3 is going to do to the whole world.
Yeah.
It's going to be where we're a restaurant, maybe, or a business, a place of business, will have their QR code to their wallet address.
Yeah. Right.
And you'll just swipe it and send the ETH, and you're good. You
know what I'm saying? So I guess the creators of the QR code are...
Yeah, they're popping off, probably killing it right now. It's probably open source at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess that's the conclusion of the government and crypto conversation. You know, these three countries, lots of news and lots of different approaches for cryptocurrency.
Yeah, awesome. I think we've talked a good amount about a couple of things that we saw throughout this week. We're going to continue to do our best to get some more information. I know there's a bunch of things that go on and we just have to continue to research, and we're in the market too. So we have to, basically what I'm trying to say is that we got to do our best to maneuver through whenever we hear different information come to light. Then we'll switch our position on some things. Like and not to dog on him, but like Alex is selling his position. That's because some new information came to light. Maybe not so bullish anymore, but so this concludes the episode of Crypto Junkies Podcast, number 6. Thank you so much for trucking along with us down here in the South in Texas. We will see y'all next week.
Boop.
Peace.
Boom.
That's what I needed.
Crypto Junkies NFT Talk. Turn it on. Crypto Junkies NFT Talk. That's my show. Hello. Let's talk crypto. Which way to go? Need right info. I'm a junkie for the knowledge. You got it. Technology on the move. We ride.